The League of Legends betting podcast is brought to you by my patrons at patreon.com/gelatilol. There you can find bonus content like in-depth articles on macro trend analysis and league previews, as well as thoughts on breaking news and the podcast picks before the show is released to platforms. You also get to support your creators more directly. patreon.com/gelatilol. That's G-E-L-A-T-I-L-O-L. Good afternoon, everybody. It's currently a little bit after 5 o'clock Eastern on Friday, April 5th. I hope everyone's ready for the weekend. We had a brief recap, not much to say on this one. We had a really, really decisive 3-0 win from JDG against Weibo this morning. JDG Moneyline got home for two units. I think we netted like plus 0.65 or something like that. Clean, decisive win. I think maybe the most notable thing, there's not a whole lot to say here, but perhaps the most notable thing is that Flandre just was insane today. He was great. I know Rek'Sai is kind of busted, but he looked great. Particularly, I mean, he came out the gate swinging in the first game after having seen Sheer for a few weeks, and the fact that JDG were confident enough to just keep running him out there, see what they had with him, and still just like steamrolled with Flandre coming off the bench. Like, this is a pretty impressive performance. Hey, listen, maybe the old man just needed a couple weeks off to go into the supercharging chamber, or the time chamber or whatever. And, you know, he turned back time and Jesus, Flandre looked insane today. If he's going to play this well, then JDG were already live to win a title. If he's going to play this well, then you should be afraid to play against JDG. It's going to be a really, really interesting matchup on Sunday with Top and JDG. I mentioned on the Patreon, I don't have, I'm probably not going to have a post for that matchup before the LPL, like before the slate starts tomorrow. But if you made me take a side in it, I'd probably I'm probably not going to end up playing a side in this. The model made it like a minus 141 fair. The filtered model made it that. Top are going to have side choice, but I'd probably still lean Top Esports given the market price is currently. Let's see, what are we at on that series? I didn't look. I believe it was. I'm just pulling this up now. Yeah, it was basically a pick 'em. Top Esports short favorites, minus 117, minus 104. Yeah, I mean, I would lean Top Esports, but I'm probably not going to end up playing that because I think that series is just going to be a banger and it could go either way. Anyway, that's it for that one. We've got a handful of things tomorrow. We've got two best of threes in the LEC as well as an LCK and an LPL playoff match. So we have a lot to get to here on the show. I'll touch first on the LCK match. First, we have Gen.G minus 184 on the money line, minus 1.5 maps at plus 121, minus 2.5 at plus 364. Against Hanwha Life Esports, plus 150 on the money line, plus 1.5 maps at minus 147, plus 2.5 at minus 495, the minus 1.5 at plus 301, and the minus 2.5 at plus 825. Gen.G 17-1 as favorites straight up, 14-4 against the map spread this season. HLE 2-3 as dogs, 2-3 against the map spread. We discussed this before. They've only been underdogs to Gen.G and T1 all season. So keep that in mind. Interesting with this one, Hanwha are coming off of a series where they looked outstanding. They showed a lot of proactivity in the early game, particularly Delight in the first two games of this matchup. They completely stomped T1. Now, I'll admit, T1 just gave you three of their five lowest game grades of the entire season in that series. So it was truly like a, you know, fifth percentile type of a series from T1. You know, I'm not going to keep talking about the post-game presser and all the drama around this. But the fact of the matter is, it was just a bad series from T1. They played very, very poorly. And Hanwha played very, very well. So that's how you get 3-0. That's how you get underdog 3-0s when you have both like that parlay hitting. So a little bit of optimism to be had for Hanwha. And I think particularly just like how they won. It wasn't necessarily just like in typical Hanwha fashion, but I do think T1 made a lot of mistakes in that series, so you know, you have to take somewhat with a grain of salt here. I think there's something to be optimistic about with Hanwha. I think if they play that well again and Gen.G have a poor series, they could get there in this match. But Gen.G are even like, what's wild here is Gen.G are shorter favorites than T1 was. against Hanwha. Because they got the 3-0, the like any kind of ELO model type pricing here is going to inflate this a little bit. And we're getting a very, very cheap price on Gen G. Now, my models are more performance-based. I don't really... I have an ELO model set up, but I don't mess with it because I tend to be more performance-driven. And I think in this instance, the performance models made Gen G a shorter favorite than this. They're going to like Hanwha quite a bit. But I need to bring up that Hanwha have not beaten Gen G with this iteration of the roster ever. And I think that's critically important to factor in. Past results do not indicate future performance, obviously. That's you know, not how this all works. But I think it shows you, and like qualitatively, when you watch those matches, yeah, like Gen G have this team downloaded. They swept both series this season in the regular season 2-0. That was in weeks 4 and 7. There was really only one close game. It was game 2 of the week 4 meeting. And, you know, Gen G were still in full control and had a better scaling setup in that game anyway. Going back to last year... summer last year, Gen G swept both regular season matches during the summer 2-0. They 3-0'd them during the summer playoffs. Going back to spring last year, they won 2-1 and 2-0 during the spring regular season, and they 3-1'd them during the spring playoffs. Gen G have not dropped a series to this team since they've assembled this iteration with the Viper Zekka and the same coaching staff that we have currently as well. They have not dropped a series to them. They've only dropped two individual games to them in a season and a half, essentially, less these playoffs here. So when you struggle that much, like sometimes you can get out like results like this that are just like coincidental. I don't think it's coincidental in this case. Like Hanwha have absolutely struggled with Gen G. As a matter of fact, of the 47 games Hanwha have played this season, I do the model game grades, which again, put a little bit more emphasis on the economic aspect of the game. But of the 47 games Hanwha have played against Gen, of the 47 games Hanwha Life Esports have played this season, the model game grades for their four games against Gen G were 45th, 39th, 44th, and 43rd. So, four of their bottom eight individual game grades were against Gen G. On the opposite side of the spectrum, Gen G have played 44 games. Their game grades were 16th, 25th, 20th, and 21st. So, like right around the average for Gen G. This team, Gen G have absolutely owned this team. And qualitatively, I think there's a reason for that. Hanwha have been a pure counterpunching team. I've talked about this ad nauseum. I don't want to keep going into it again. I sound like a broken record. And Gen G simply just don't make a lot of mistakes, like ever. They just don't. They're a very, very clean game or team. They essentially do what Hanwha do, but better. And because Hanwha aren't quite as consistent at engineering advantages on their own, Gen G tend to just choke them out of games, and every time they've played against them, that's kind of been the case. Like, Gen G haven't run wild. They haven't run away with any of these early games in a lot of their games. I mean, they have a couple times, but, like, it's not like they're having, like, outlier good games against Hanwha. They're just average games for Gen G, and Gen G's average has been good enough to completely smoke this Hanwha team, like, every time they've faced off. So, you know, I want to give Hanwha a tip of the hat because they were a lot more proactive in this T1 series, and perhaps that's showing some growth for them. They kind of got the monkey off their back with that, but I'm still skeptical that they can piece that together. And I also, you know, going back and watching that, there were a lot of just like positioning errors from T1 that I think were, I mean, I'll give credit, like I thought Delight actually did an incredible job of like getting action going early in that game, but or in those games, but I just don't know if I see it with Gen G. Like, maybe this iteration has a different... Like, I don't know. I thought maybe changing the roster up a little bit would have different implications, but it just hasn't so far. Now, that doesn't mean that it won't happen. Like, Gen G could certainly lose this series tomorrow. Hanwha are a good enough team that if you just play badly, they're going to beat you. I don't care how good you are. So, it's just a matter of how, like, if you think that's going to happen. Like, I think most of this handicap ultimately comes down to whether or not you think Gen G have a bad series or not. Because if Gen G show you, you know, anything above 40th percentile, Hanwha are going to have like another like 80th percentile performance to take this series, I think. Gen G, it's just a bad matchup. Gen G just do everything they do better. T1 and D+ are more volatile, and even KT are more volatile teams in that their spike performances are excellent, perhaps better than Gen G, But Gen G are so smooth and steady and consistent, and they're just so fundamentally sound that you basically have to play perfect games against them. And good teams can play perfect games against them, but you have to be an exceptional leverage team to really beat Gen G. So I don't think you can make a case for Hanwha necessarily. Like, if you want to take the hot hand angle, I could see a case for that, I guess. But this team has utterly owned Hanwha. Unless you think it's a this time is different situation, and you're not even getting a particularly great price on it, I'm going to take a cheap price on Gen G here. Give me the favorites. Like, I don't think this is the time. I mean, you could make a case that this is the time. Like, if there's no better time than now for this to happen, but give me Gen G on the money line. I got a minus 169 for two units at BAS, and I play Gen G -1.5 maps at plus 129 for a quarter unit as well. I'll pay to see it. Like, Gen G being shorter favorites than T1 when T1 are a lot more mistake prone than Gen G are. Like, you want to look for teams that are mistake prone for Hanwha. Like, that's how you want to back Hanwha. Like, because the way Hanwha play is very controlled and very, you make the error and we'll punish it. And I just don't see Gen G making, I don't see Gen G having three games where they screw up that badly. They're just too good. They're too fundamentally sound. Moving on to the LPL, we have Billy Billy Gaming, minus 566 on the money line, -1.5 maps at minus 206, -2.5 at plus 166. Against Ninjas in Pajamas, plus 407 on the money line, +1.5 maps at plus 167, +2.5 at minus 205. The -1.5 is at plus 773. The -2.5 is at plus 1867. BLG 15-1 as favorites outright, 13-3 against the map spread. Ninjas in Pajamas 1-3 as dogs, 1-3 against the map spread. Those victories as underdogs were in the last match. That was their first underdog victory. And they were roughly even money in that series. So, keep that in mind. That one hurt. It hurt my soul. But just keep that in mind for this. So, this is yet another instance of, do you ride a hot hand? Do you have enough respect for a hot hand or not? Because Ninjas in Pajamas put together by far their best series that we've seen in 2024. Games 1 and Games 4 of that series graded as the second and third best individual game grades for NIP's entire season to this point. They elevated and played the best when it matters. This is a veteran lineup. I think you have to keep that in mind. It's possible that we're seeing, that they've scaled into the season, kind of like we see with, lower seed NBA teams, maybe. They did not screw around or mess around in that series. They were very, very clean in closing the games out, which was, a shock considering how we've seen that all season. Now, I tend to be a person that believes that, what you do all season, like practice how you're going to perform, right? Like, perfect practice makes perfect, not the other. Like, you don't just get to elevate when it matters, right? Like, yeah, there's a dynamic where teams can clutch it out, but if you've shown me an entire season of evidence to one thing, and it's going to be tough to talk me off of that until I see a couple of series. The model makes this a very heavy-handed price. You were absolutely paying an absurd premium for Billy Billy if you're going to back them here. But I think the fact of the matter is, if you look at the filtered sample for Billy Billy, like just Billy Billy against playoff teams, if you look at just Billy Billy's sample against playoff teams and compare it to every other team in the four majors with their full sample, Billy Billy would be the third best team in the world, even if you filter out their games against bad teams. If in the model, like with the full samples for everything included, Billy Billy are world number one currently. They are an absolutely absurd team. I think currently they're like the sixth best team of all time or something like that, that the model has seen. It might be fifth, I forget. This is an absurd team. They have a 1758 agnostic gold per minute, a plus 180 agnostic differential per minute, which are both best in the world right now, both ahead of Gen G. They have by far the best early game on the planet. And, like I mentioned, like the most messed up part of all this is that it doesn't really fall off that much when you filter out the bad teams. So Billy Billy are an absolute truck. This team is insane. They're very, very good. They came out the gate swinging. There was no sluggish start. They didn't fall off toward the end of the season. They've played 35 games this season, which is a super short number. Like, most of their top 10 games actually happened in the final 2 weeks. Now, I'll admit they kind of faced a soft schedule in that time, but like they started hot and then they continued to improve, which is ridiculous. So I think we're looking at probably the, like, I think they're the best team in the LPL. I don't think they're that much further ahead of like Top Esports and JDG, but they are the best team in the LPL. I think it's pretty clear at this point. And I think this, like, really, you could say that, like, the price is right to get involved with NIP. You just saw the best series of 2024 from them. You're getting an absurd number. I could definitely see the case for it, but I tend to believe that teams become who they've been all season more often than not. It's very rare that you see, like, a true, elevated, completely different team. I mean, Liquid became that this season. It was a very weird thing, but you do see that once in a while, but usually that's not the case. To me, I don't see it happening. Like, I really don't. Like, Bilibili have now gotten to see a couple series from them. I mean, you could make the case that they're coming in cold. They haven't played a match since March 23rd. I think that's a case that's worth, you know, that's something worth mentioning. That's a long time. It's going to be exactly 2 weeks tomorrow, and they're coming in against an NIP team that just played their best series. So, like, I could see the hot hand approach versus Rust. It is double elimination. The pressure's not entirely on, but I tend to think prep advantage, specifically for Bilibili, who are a team that actually does do stuff like that, unlike a lot of the LPL teams. I think they are going to have a plan for this. They've seen a lot from NIP, and I don't know. Like, the price is right if you want to get involved with the dogs. I would not blame you. I really wouldn't. And, you know, there's actually an arbitrage opportunity here if you want to. I don't know if there still is. I'm sure it's been hit by now. But when I wrote the Patreon article this morning, there was actually an arb available. You could get -385 and +407 for a, whatever that is, 22-cent arb. I don't know if that's really worth it to a lot of people with esports limits, but hey, just worth mentioning. I ended up playing Bilibili on the money line here. And I know I'm overpaying, and I know this is stupid, and I know this is quote-unquote bad handicapping here. Qualitatively speaking, though, like, with the amount of, like, issues NIP had in the mid and late game, when they're really going to be put to the test here, like, when they're going to get put to the test by Bilibili, like, feet to the fire, like, I think we're going to see a lot more of that stuff again. And I think you might end up getting a series like we saw this morning with JDG Weibo, where it's like, oh, I forgot. We're now watching the elite teams, not the middle of the table teams, like, that all kind of have their own errors and mistakes, right? I know I was counting FPX as like a half, like a diet elite team, but they did have, you know, kind of a bad series. If you look at FPX's game grades for that series, it was some of their lowest. It was also some of NIP's highest. Like I mentioned before, it's their second and third best game grades in that series of the four games, which is kind of cool for them. You know, I don't see it in a best of five. I think this could get competitive. I'm not ruling that out, but I just have such a hard time seeing Bilibili actually drop a series to this that I think I'm actually going to just, like, lay the chalk here. So I played Bilibili -385 for 2 units on the money line. Yeah, I don't know. If we have another situation where you get like a 90th percentile versus a 10th percentile for the favorite, you could see NIP winning this series, but I just don't see it. Bilibili are too good, and, you know, we saw what happens when these mid-table teams play against the elite teams today. I think there's a good chance we see a 3-0 or a 3-1 tomorrow as well. That's going to be it for me. I'm going to be releasing a separate podcast for the LEC slate. I will also have the LEC slate updated on the Patreon probably later on tonight or very early tomorrow morning before the Eastern matches get started. Apologies for that, but I do have some things I got to get to today. Until then, best of luck and enjoy your weekend.